There were 100 of us wandering around the historic end of Union Station, all wearing headphones, all listening to live music. Commuters rushed from place to place, giving us strange looks. Travelers waited in the big leather chairs and looked bewildered as people in costume filed down the main aisle. The singers dispersed among us. Some sat, some walked out into the courtyard. The musicians were tucked away in a nearby room, their instrumental performance transmitted over a wireless signal. It was a live opera in a busy public space, something I had never experienced or even really thought was possible. Composed by Christopher Cerrone and based on the novel by Italo Calvino, Invisible Cities is a fanciful conversation between Marco Polo and Kublai Khan. I sat down with the opera's artistic director, Yuval Sharon, who challenged me to consider how opera can be for everybody.
What if opera is actually an emerging art form? What if it's an art form that is developing and finding its audience and finding new ways of expression? I started the industry with that mission, that idea of breaking those boundaries. And the only way to do that really is to bring opera into the public sphere.
In the lives of emperors, there is a moment which follows pride.
We wanted to eliminate that gap between everyday life and art making. Opera has a particularly bad rap in this scenario because, you know, the very first operas were done in private rooms. The Florentine Camerata was all about this private and very privileged room where you were invited in to see this opera if you were a friend of the prince. And so for me, that idea of the kind of elitism, that's something I've really been trying to explode. So take it out of the private realm of these temples of art. Nothing against them. I love them. I love going into theater, you know. I don't have anything against the proscenium arc, you know, or the traditional theaters. But if we're going to keep the art form alive, I think we have to do the things that keep the artistic excellence high while inviting the public in to mingle with what we're doing.
I was just really struck from the moment of putting on my headphones and being able to walk through an opera, seeing a dancer in leotard doing something really crazy with her body, but then turning, seeing a singer in jeans wearing a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there was a blur between the performer and the audience and then just the people who were at the station to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. The first opera we did, Crescent City, was done in a warehouse space with no particularly privileged point of view. In fact, the audience was invited to wander around freely during that performance, or you could have a seat, but no seat was any better or worse than any other. They were at different levels, or they were either inside the installation or outside, but you had a very particular point of view. And I wanted to build on that idea with Invisible Cities, the idea of an ambulatory audience and experiencing a piece in a 360-degree format, being able to look in a number of different directions, and I wanted the audience to feel like that kind of control over the narratives without it being, in a cheap way, participatory.
Right.
So with Invisible Cities, I wanted to still have an even more subjective experience, allowing for a highly private experience, but putting that in relief by it being in an incredibly public space, allowing them to experience that tension, which we carry with us every day. You know, when we go into public spaces, we're also alone. So reminding people of that and making them aware of their subjective experience versus the space where people meet.
I turned my gaze aside. I no longer dared look anyone in the face.
What makes Los Angeles conducive to this participatory opera?
I came to LA 4 years ago, and sometimes I joke that it still is the Wild West in many ways, but it's not a total joke because there is still this love of the undiscovered and the new and innovation. This is a city that I think really prizes innovation. That's something I've always really noticed about LA. And so when I started the industry, it was kind of taking a chance on that and thinking, well, I think this is the right place to do these kind of experiments. You can find the right collaborators who will want to take a leap with you. And the audiences have definitely been coming out to the projects that we've been doing, and a very diverse and very different kind of audience that you'd expect at something that's called an opera. In LA, we are often cut off from an unexpected audience. When I go to LA Phil, I know who I'm going to see. You know, when I go to the opera, I know who I'm going to see. If I go to a dance performance that's a little grungier, I know what kind of artists are going to be there. I know who's going to be in the audience, right? And suddenly we were invited to a performance that we were mixed with a bunch of people that we might not normally even know live in Los Angeles.
So I'm curious, with putting everyone on the same level, if anything really surprised you.
Wow. I mean, when you open your work up to the public, you're opening yourself up to a very unpredictable range of responses, right? And we had incredibly beautiful ones, like somebody who they didn't feel like they had anywhere else to go. They went to Union Station and suddenly next to them, someone started singing. And they had no idea why. And she burst out into tears and said she felt like it was this voice from above that was telling her it's going to be okay. That was definitely not any of our intentions, you know? I mean, it's lovely when you can say, like, it was the work that we did that could inspire people to remember why life is worth living. You know, that is why we look to art. But we didn't do it specifically it's not a rescue mission for us either. You know, I mean, it was fundamentally an art piece, but we opened it up to allow for those kind of things to happen.
The whole idea of simultaneities happening, it seems very resistant to the idea of an auteur.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no one is really in charge here. It's very non-Wagnerian.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear because, you know, a lot of people introduce me to people as an impresario, which is a title that for me always has these very negative connotations of a domineering auteur with big ideas that everyone needs to fall in line with. And that's definitely not the way that I work. I don't see that value. I mean, I'm interested in other people's ideas, including the audience. That's why I like these projects that are so open to the audience's interpretation.
So we have one chance to see Invisible Cities again.
Exactly. Wednesday, October 29th, free, open to the public, a concert of just the music. Fortunately or unfortunately, no headphones. I think fortunately, because it'll be the first time anyone will have heard the music without this mediated experience.
And so in this configuration, we'll see the musicians and the singers all at once.
They'll be together in the same room. Yeah, it's definitely still a first, you know. There's a great quote that I've always been inspired by the director, Wieland Wagner, who says that every production is a journey to an unknown destination. And I feel like that is definitely the case of the work that I've been doing with the industry, is it is very much an unknown destination, but we just keep walking towards it. As we get closer and closer, it becomes more and more real and more vivid. And it's a really exciting process.